I trust you will pray for me as I stand before you tonight. And I pray that I will be able to make a clear sound. I thought Brother Jerry is certainly going to get my text, but he didn't quite get to it. I read from the Psalms, Psalm number 89, if you'd like to read along. Psalms 89 began with verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. Yes, we have a King, and He is ruling today. Ruling and reigning in the hearts of His people. And I am so thankful. I realize much could be said from the verses that I have read in your hearing, but I would like to go back to verse 15, where it says, blessed is the people that know what? The joyful sound. If you examine the words there, the language that should tell us that everybody's not going to recognize this joyful sound. But those that do are indeed blessed. You and I, who have been in the church for many years, I've been ordained with a Primitive Baptist for 40 years, soon be 41. Preached with another order of people for a few years before that. We often, after a few years, began, I think, to take things for granted. But I would like to go back, if the Lord would bless me for a little while, to share with you some thoughts about when I was first blessed to identify the joyful sound that I hope to talk to you about tonight. I know there are many sounds made in the world. There are different sounds that we read about in God's Word. I could refer to many of those that we could refer to as being a joyful sound to the people that heard them in their day. But I would like to think tonight of this joyful sound being the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would I say the true gospel? It's only the gospel of Christ, but there's many sound that's being made that's called gospel, which is not a joyful sound. To those of us that have been blessed to identify the joyful sound of the gospel of Christ. I know as I listen to men and also women today on radio and television preaching a gospel. They call it the gospel of Christ, but it doesn't correspond with the book that I read. Oh, they have some truth. They're God's children in all orders of people. You know, you and I are in the minority. We're that little flock. I believe, and I'm sure you will agree with me, that the vast majority of God's children are outside of the gospel kingdom here in the world. Amen. But thanks be to God, they will enjoy heaven just as much as any old Baptist because of God's sovereign grace. But they're missing something here, aren't they? They're missing out on what I call the church heaven. The gospel phase of the kingdom here in the world. I was making a sound before I was able to identify the joyful sound. Brother Sam Bryant preached here, I believe, Monday night. He made mention of Elder Cecil Daugherty, whom we all loved and appreciated. said one night as Elder Daugherty was preaching there in the great state of Georgia that he saved him. He went on to explain how that he saved him. His preaching, as able as Elder Daugherty was, didn't give him the new life, the new birth. But it saved him from earth, saved him from many things here in the world, as he was blessed to hear the joyful sound of the gospel. I believe that every man that's called of God, and I believe that's the only way a man will ever preach. In a way that would be honoring to God and edifying to His people, he must be called as Aaron was called. I believe that we're given a trumpet. I'm not talking about the little horn that you and I know as a trumpet. But I'm talking about the gospel trumpet. And I believe it's important, most important, that we blow that trumpet in a way that God's children can understand what we're saying. And that we would be blessed of God to rightly divide His Word, as Brother Jerry has taught us, in such a way that we would not muddy the water and confuse God's children, but we would be blessed to edify them. And that means to build up. We, the children of God, when we're born to the Spirit, we're babes in Christ. But we shouldn't remain babes. We should grow. We should even mature in the things of the gospel. That doesn't mean you know it all. We're still learning, aren't we? But we are to grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of our Lord. I tell the people that I serve at home, know what you believe and why you believe it. I hear old Baptists say, well, I'm an old Baptist because my great-grandfather was. I'm not. I'm an old Baptist because I believe that I'm in the church that the Lord Jesus Christ set up during His earthly ministry while here on this earth. But I was making a sound. I believe I had a trumpet before I was able to identify the joyful sound. So I was making a sound, and you hear them being made today, but every sound that's being made is not the joyful sound. To us that's able to identify this joyful sound, when we hear those sounds, it's kind of disturbing to us, isn't it? Kind of upsets us because we know it's not in keeping with thus saith the Word of God. What do we do? Do we criticize? I trust not, but I trust we pray for those people. Because you know God's still given eyes to see and ears to hear. The wise man Solomon spoke of the hearing ear and the seeing eye, and he said they're both of the Lord. You know there's individuals in this world in the realm of nature that have life, but they're not able to see because they're blind physically. They have life. You also know that there's people in this world that have natural life that cannot hear, have not the ability to hear. Think about that in the spiritual realm. They have life. God has given them a life, but they're not able to see and to hear like you and I. Do we take this for granted? I trust not. But I trust we realize what a blessing it is. So about 40-something years ago, I thought I was saving people for eternal glory. And what a burden that was. If you've never been there, you know nothing about it. But I got to where I couldn't even sleep. And really, I shouldn't have been able to sleep if that was my responsibility. I got to where I wasn't eating right. And I certainly like to eat. But I wasn't eating right. I even had some thoughts of taking my own life. Because of the burden that I was carrying, thinking that it was up to me to help populate eternal heaven. But I went to visit an old man one time that was very close to me. has never made a public confession of faith, has never been baptized, not a member of the church, of course. I went to try to save him, that he would accept Christ and be born to the Spirit and live with God in eternal heaven. But you know, that old man saved me. In the sense that I'm talking about. Oh, I believe, as much as I believe tonight, that I was a child of God when I went there. I was born to the Spirit of God. I was making the effort to preach what I call the gospel of Christ. But that old man told me, he said, "Son," and by the way, it was my earthly father, said, "Son, they tell me you're a preacher." We lived about 200 miles apart. I said, "Yes, Dad, I am." He said, "You truly believe that God has called you to preach?" I said, "I do. If I didn't, I wouldn't make the effort." He offered to give me a New Testament and Psalms, not the whole Bible. I said, "Dad, I don't need that." He said, "I believe you do, son." I said, "No, I've got several in my home." He said, "You what? You've got several Bibles?" "Yes, Dad, I have." He said, "Son, the way you talked to me, I didn't think you'd ever seen a Bible." He said, "If you really believe that God has called you to preach, preach the truth." He said, "Eternal salvation by grace." I said, "Dad, I know that." He said, "When you preach to your congregation or where your membership is, or wherever you may stand to preach, do you tell the people that you believe and teach, and God's Word teaches, that eternal salvation is by grace, and do you end it there with a period?" I said something like this to my dad, who's been gone many years home to be with the Lord. He did come home to the church to die, but the church is a place to live, folks. He should have come 40, 50 years before he did. I said, "Dad, I tell the people this, salvation by grace, but..." He said, "Stop." I paused for a moment. He said, "You don't believe in eternal salvation by grace." He said, "When you added that word but, now you're going to give me a list of conditions that the dead sinner's got to meet, and you're going to buck grace plumb out of the picture, and you're going to say that eternal salvation is by works." I thought that old man was insane. But anyway, he said, "Son, here's what I'm going to recommend to you. When you go back to your home, you just take one of those Bibles, you say you've got several of them, and you begin to read it. Don't take other people's word for it. Read it for yourself. And before you ever open it to read, you pray and ask God to give you understanding. Go on to preach. Preach the truth." I took that old man's word and advice, and I began to do that, and God began to open my understanding. I began to see things in God's word that I didn't even know was there. I get a little light on it, and I say, "Boy, this is wonderful." I'd even preach it where I was, and finally they told me, "You can't preach that here." I said, "Well, am I preaching the Bible?" "Oh, yeah, you're preaching God's Word." "Well, why can't I preach it here?" "Well, we don't believe that." "You mean we don't believe God's Word?" "I thought we did. I was with a Baptist family, but you know, there are all kinds of Baptist families. God has His children in all of them, doesn't He?" "No, you can't preach that here. That'll destroy this church. Preaching the truth will destroy a church." "Brother Ernie, that's what it'll do. If you preach here, you preach what we believe." "That's why I thought we believe God's Word." Then the pastor set me down and said, "You don't understand, Brother Ernie." I said, "Well, maybe I don't. Tell me." He said, "Here's how it is." And he went through about 20 different denominations. He said, "They have their scriptures, we have ours. They preach theirs. We preach ours. And all these denominations preach a portion of God's Word. That's how God gets His whole Word preached. I said, "Brother, I tell you, I think you're the one who needs help rather than me." I said, "I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." He said, "Well, if you preach here, you preach what we believe." I never heard anybody express it that way before or since. Maybe he's the only one in the world that believed that. I don't know. But I don't think most people in other orders believe that. Yeah, I never heard that before or since, as I say. But that's what he told me. He said, "You're preaching hard shell scripture." And I tied this church up. I said, "Hard shell? What's hard shell?" I thought we were hard shell. Well, I was. People would call us hard shell Baptists, you know. He said, "Well, they call themselves primitive Baptists." Oh, I've heard of those folks. And I had. I had a little knowledge of them. But anyway, he sent me down. They wouldn't let me preach. But you know what he told me? He said, "We had a young brother among us a few years ago, said he'd probably made the world's greatest evangelist. But he went insane. And he went and joined the hard shells." I was living in Covington, Kentucky at the time, and the only thing that separated Covington from Cincinnati was the Ohio River. He said, "By the way, he got a church over in Cincinnati somewhere." I said, "I don't know where." And he said, "He got a radio ministry," and said, "I'd advise you to listen to him." He told me what station he's on. Well, now he knew all that. He must have been listening, huh? So I turned him on. I began to listen. I heard a trumpet being blown that was bringing a sound that I had just seen the glimpse of truth. Oh, how precious it was to me to hear that joyful sound telling me that eternal salvation was by grace, telling me that God elected the people in Christ before the foundation of the world. I'd seen that in God's Word and tried to talk a little bit about it where I was. They said, "You can't preach that here." You know why? Because they don't believe that. That's why. They don't want to hear things that they don't believe. But oh, when I have been blessed to see it was taught in God's Word and hear this brother preaching it so powerfully on the radio, that God elected the people in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. But the only way you and I will ever be blessed, or was ever blessed, to come to the place where we would appreciate the doctrines of grace is to see what we were by nature. You will never appreciate the message of grace if you don't understand that we were totally depraved by the sin of Adam. We just didn't come out of the garden just bruised a little bit. Brothers and sisters, he died. The individual said, "Well, he didn't die. He went on to live for several hundred years. He did in the realm of nature." But this book teaches us of more than one death. Death is a separation, and they were separated from God. And it was fixed to where they could never get back, even in the Garden of Eden on their own. People say, "What did that have to do with me? I wasn't there." Yes, you were there. You were there in representation, brothers and sisters, because we're the offspring of Adam. We were all there. If you don't believe me, listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God, every one of us. The 19th verse of Romans chapter 5 says, "By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners." We were made sinners by the disobedience of Adam, our head and our representative in the realm of nature. But that's not all, that 19th verse. It said, "By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." You know, Jesus Christ has a people, and He stands as our head and representative of those that the Father gave Him, the spiritual family of God. And it's a number so great that no man can number it. Oh, people, you know, you talk about election to some people, it just scares them to death. But I tell you, I was preaching before I ever was a primitive Baptist. about a personal Savior, and I've been preaching with Old Baptists for over 40 years. They haven't run me off yet. I believe in a personal Savior. When I talk about election and how it's so beautiful to me, I feel that He elected me. He made a choice of me, not because of who I am or what I've done, but because it pleased Him to do so. Oh, I know He made a choice of a number so great that no man can number. And I believe, brothers and sisters, the first time I heard something on predestination, the people talking to me about predestination, I said, anybody believe that is insane. And I still believe what they were telling me about predestination. Anybody believe that's insane? Because they was telling me everything that takes place in this world has to be, couldn't be no other way. God predestinated, no matter whether good or evil, whatever. I don't find God's Word to teach that on predestination, but I do find it to teach something about predestination. But when you understand that subject, it's the most beautiful thing that you can think of. Or embrace, because I read where it says, there in Romans chapter 8, beginning with the 29th verse, it said, for whom? That word whom means people. For whom He did foreknow, He foreknew His people in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. In whom He justified, them He also glorified. Notice that text. It says, for whom He, God, did foreknow, He, God, also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom He, God, did predestinate, them He, God, also called. And whom He, God, called, He also justified. And whom He, God, justified, He, God, also glorified. It's God from start to finish, brothers and sisters, when it comes to being saved in eternal glory. But oh, what's wrong with believing that one day you're going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? That's what it says, being conformed to the image of His Son, and God predetermined that before the foundation of the world that would take place. I read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, 7, it says this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, how? By Jesus Christ, according to His own good pleasure. Oh yes, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His own pleasure. Oh, brothers and sisters, you know we're God's children by adoption. But God predetermined that we would be adopted into His family. That means take out of one family and place in another. That's what adoption is. He only has one begotten Son, but He has millions of sons and daughters, but we're His by adoption. Oh, it also says something in the 11th verse about that, you know, about being predestinated unto an inheritance, to obtain an inheritance. You've got an inheritance. You know why? Because you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. That's why. Well, you've got a reservation made for you, child of God. Where? In eternal glory. We had reservations. We got up here, walked in the lobby out there, told them my name. They looked it up, told me what room I was going to be in. You've got a reservation in heaven, but you didn't make that reservation. Your elder brother, Jesus Christ, has made it for you, if you please. And everyone will be there without the loss of one. Oh, that's a joyful sound, isn't it? Oh, yes. But you know, you hear many sounds in the world, but where is this sound coming from? Do you ever think of that? Oh, listen, in God's Word, much has been said from Isaiah chapter 40. Oh, yes, that's a wonderful chapter, but notice in the 9th verse what it says. Oh, Zion, that what? That brings good tidings. That's where it's coming from. It's coming out of Zion. It's not coming out of Washington. It's not coming out of Montgomery in the state that I live in. It's not coming out of Frankfort for you that live in Kentucky and wherever you may live at your state capital. It's not coming from there. But all it says in this 9th verse, O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice, lift it up with strength. Be not afraid, and say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. It's time we behold our God and see if we are serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of all the living, or are we serving the gods of this world? Oh, he goes on here and says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him in his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. His flock. The Father gave them to him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Oh, what a Savior we have. I hear Jesus speaking in John chapter 6. And you know what he says? He said many things, of course. But I hear him in John chapter 6, verse 38. He says, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. I hear him in John chapter 10, going to verse 27. He says, my sheep. Notice the relationship. Referring to his children as sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and he does. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I offer them eternal life. No, thank you, brother. He doesn't say that. No, that sounds disturbing, isn't it? He doesn't offer. No, no. But he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I what? Give unto them, the sheep, what? Eternal life, and they, the sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them the sheep me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pick or pluck them, the sheep, out of my Father's hand. I am my Father of one. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is good news. Let us blow this old trumpet in a way that God's little children, and pray that God would give them ears to hear. We can't do that. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see. I want to go to Solomon's song for just a few verses here. Because I believe when I read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, when Jesus said, you know, he raised the question, you heard that here this weekend. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They spoke up and some said, thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elias. Some say thou art Jeremiah. So others say thou art one of the prophets. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter spoke and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. Reveal what? The true identity of who he was. But my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, he's not talking about Peter. He's talking about the rock of Revelation, I believe. Upon this rock I will build what? My church. Not churches. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe with all the believing power that I have that Jesus Christ set up a church during his earthly ministry. I believe it's here in the world and I believe it can be found, child of God, to those that have a desire to find it. Come with an inquiring mind. Oh yes, because that was my experience. But in Solomon's song, we find here in chapter 6, verse 9, he says, my dove, listen, isn't that beautiful? My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bore her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, in the queen, the queens rather, in the concubines, and they praised her. You know, I've heard about the dove ever since I've been with the old Baptists a great deal. You know, even when Jesus was baptized, he came straightway up out of the water. And by the way, John didn't baptize him to make him the Son of God, did he? He was already that when he came to John. He didn't baptize him to make him the Messiah either. No, but Christ has suffered to be now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He suffered and he baptized him. When he came straightway up out of the water, the heavens opened. The Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove and lit upon him. A voice rang out from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That didn't happen when I was baptized. But I'll tell you, something did happen. I took something in that water that I didn't bring out because I was carrying the burden to be baptized. And once I went in there and had the gospel, Lord, and some baptism to minister to me, it hadn't bothered me since that day, because I obeyed the commandment of my God, because He commands His children to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If that bothers you, the only way you get rid of that is to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I talked about the dove. We're speaking about the dove. You know, the dove, they tell me, the bird that we know in nature, the dove, they tell me, and I've read, that it makes a noise different than any other bird. They say that it's different than any bird here in nature. But you know, the old mockingbird, it tries to imitate. And it can imitate some birds, but it can't imitate the mockingbird. It can't get that sound, I tell me. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we got some out there trying to imitate us. We have. The old mockingbirds out there, but they're not getting it quite right. No, no. But the joyful sound is coming out of Zion. Coming out of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the church of the living God. Over here in Solomon's Song, chapter 2, verse 10. Says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Oh, that's so beautiful to me. This beautiful love letter that we read here. Listen. "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone." We ought not be living like it's in wintertime all the time. The springtime comes. And notice what happened. "Lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth in the time of the singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." That voice is still being heard today. The voice of the turtle dove. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us continue to blow upon that old gospel trumpet, where it's from the pulpit, where it's on the job talking to individuals one-on-one, where you're in the classroom or wherever you may be. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Know what you believe and why you believe it. And believe what this book teaches us. None of us, as we've already heard, will know it all, but be thankful for what you do know, and be trying to learn more and more and more, that we may grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of Him. So when I heard that and understood it, I believe I would have crawled up the aisle if I couldn't have walked, to be a member of His church, once I understood these great truths. Because this is a place for God's children to live and to worship Him. Notice there in Psalms 89 and 15, it says, "They shall walk." We got some walking to do, brothers and sisters. But notice that they shall walk in the light of thy countenance. It's a lot better to walk in light than it is darkness. A lot easier, isn't it? So I would ask you, in saying to you in love, if you have a desire to follow the Lord, don't do like my old dad did. Put it off and put it off and put it off and say, "I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy." No, you're not worthy within yourself. And I want you to know, you'll never get worthy within yourself. But God has made you worthy by His grace, when He took up His abode to live within you, and your body become the temple of the living God. The Holy Ghost is God, you know that? And our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, take your place in the church of the living God and live to the honor and glory and praise of Him for what you've done here in the world. What a burden was lifted off of my shoulders when I realized that I was not preaching the gospel to populate heaven, but to feed God's children here in the world, to instruct them and to comfort them with the truth of God. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee thanking Thee, Father, that we were blessed many years ago to come under the sound of the gospel, the true gospel of Christ. And Father, we were blessed to recognize it as a joyful sound. It's been a joyful sound all these years, and the older I get, the more precious it is. Oh, dear God, help me to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called. Help me, Father, when I make the effort to blow upon this trumpet, to do it in such a way that God's little children would be comforted and be instructed and be fed. And Father, we'd see many of them coming out and following Thee in the gospel way, being baptized and putting on Christ in that way, putting on the beautiful garments of salvation and walking away by letting their light so shine that it would bring honor and glory and praise to Thee. Father, bless Zion. Lord, bless all Thy medicine servants in their own field of labor and all that I should pray for this night. Thank You, Father, for this meeting here this weekend. No doubt Thy children are meeting in other places, and we pray You will be with them. Bless Thy church the world over. And Father, bless our nation and the sick and afflicted and all that I should pray for. Now dismiss us in Thy love. Watch over us during the night. Give us a peaceful night if it be Thy will. And awake us to see the light of a new day and be back in Thy service on tomorrow if it be Thy will. Forgive me of my sins and failures. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.